The word that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." This is the word of life for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Let us pray. Gracious and holy God, thank you for the gift of new beginnings, for a time of reflection, for a time of preparation, for a time for us to wrestle with what can't wait now. What in our lives can we learn from this prophet of Isaiah that we may take it to heart and grow in our faith, that we may cling to the promise of hope that we can find in you. May the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So for those of you who may know, on Monday mornings, I spend time reflecting on scripture with some very dear friends of mine, clergy persons. And usually we follow the Revised Common Lectionary, and we focus on the scripture that's coming up for those who are preaching. And here I am again, going off lectionary and kind of digging into another resource, the one that is based on What Can't Wait. And I said, "Well, I'm not doing that." And they were like, "Well, let's read what you're reading, because none of us are preaching, so let's hear it." So we read this passage together, and just having someone else read it brought it to life to me, for me, in a different way. And then held intention with Psalm 122. You're welcome to read that at your leisure. If you hold these two together, it seems so poignant and relevant for what's going on in the world today. And that's hard, because we know that there is war, that there is not peace, especially in the place that many considered holy, the place that many would travel to go high up on that mountain to offer worship to God. So I know that it's hard, and we want to read into what's happening now with what is happening in the past, and we can't necessarily do that. However, we can see that there are repeated patterns over the course of time, and that the circumstances may be different, the location may be different, but the reality is that things are still happening in the world that is not what God intends for the world or for us. So as we think about what can't wait, this text points us to a promise. It points us to something that we may not necessarily be able to vision quite yet. It's God's promised day, where the circumstances that ensnarl our daily lives will be no more, that they will be transformed. The swords will no longer be used against others. They will be beaten into instruments to create bounties of goodness for the world. This God's promised day, can we see it? Do we realize that it can happen? Do we hold on to hope that it can happen? That's a hard question to wrestle with today. Because sometimes our instinct is, I want it right now. in this way, my way, right now. And that's not necessarily how God works in and through the world. So we offer prayers and we have to lean into a posture of trust to see that God is working in the midst, that God is working through these circumstances, these difficulties, that God is present even though it is hard sometimes to see. Because God has already cast a vision of this promised day, a kingdom of peace, a kingdom of reconciliation, a kingdom of eternal fellowship, of the opportunity where all will gather around that table in the presence of God and to feast with one another. This peace, this realization, this vision transcends nation, gender, identity, job status, age, you name it. This promised day is one for all of us. And we hope and we cling to it. So what can't wait? How do we participate in what God is already doing in the world? Well, when we can be instruments of grace, we offer grace. When we need to slow down and not get ahead of ourselves, thinking everything is great, slow down. Pay attention. When things get really rough and you just don't know how things are going to move forward, and it could be anything, it could be wrestling with your senior year in high school and college applications and waiting for those letters to come in. It could be final exams for your semester so that you can continue to go on. Or it could be job promotions or job losses or medical diagnoses or family dynamics or whatever it might be. Maybe we are called to pause and see that God is working in the midst of that. That in each moment it draws us closer to what God intends for us. And together, individually, we grow into this promised vision that God has for the kingdom here on earth. What can't wait for you? What can't wait for us? What can't wait for the world that we are called to be a part of? I'm going to invite you this week to spend some time in reflection with this, to look at the news, to hold up a newspaper, to pay attention to what's going on into the world and see how is God moving in the midst of this? And know that God is moving in the midst of this and it's humanity that's getting in the way. So we pray that God's grace will be enough and hope that God's grace is enough. So we will wait in this season of Advent, but what cannot wait is God's call and reminder to be peacemakers in a hurting world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.